you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Get the latest Cleveland Browns draft coverage directly from the source by downloading the official Cleveland Browns mobile app for Apple and Android phones, tablets, and iPads. Stay connected to your Cleveland Browns anytime and everywhere. And you know what else it does, the app? It allows you to stay connected to Cleveland Browns daily, driven by Liberty Ford at any time and anywhere. You can stream the show live on your app anywhere, and you can also listen to the show on demand, broken up by segment. So if you wanted to go back and, for example, listen to the great interview with Dane Brugler from earlier today, you can do that on the app. Mel Kiper from a little while ago, go ahead, check that out. Where? On the app. So download it today at clevelandbrowns.com or at the Apple Store.
You sold that very nicely.
I love the app. I happen to love the app. It really is.
And if you with Bluetooth, let's talk about
Liberty
Ford.
You can put it right through your Bluetooth.
Your Ford F-150 or the Mustang I'm driving, you put this little you put your iPhone in there and you're listening to the downloads or the show. I mean, it's phenomenal. You're listening to it into your radio.
Yeah, it's the best. It's a beautiful thing.
Nothing wrong with that.
It's a beautiful thing. But it is now time for another beautiful thing called Fact or Fiction.
Fact or Fiction.
Happy Thursday, guys. Question number one. Hi. Next to quarterback, the Browns' number one priority in the upcoming NFL draft should be to draft a defensive back.
I think that's a fact. I don't think this team can just feel confident, well, Buster Skrine will be a better player because he's another year older and he's working with a new set of defensive coaches that will coach him up to where this team needs him to be on a consistent basis. In fact, with as much reliance as there will be on man coverage and how often these corners are going to be on islands in this defense, the scheme, I would say, find that better cover guy in this draft.
No question, and I won't just say defensive back. I'll say specifically a cornerback and a press man cover corner. That is absolutely, to me, a priority to come out of this draft with someone that you believe can start opposite Joe Haden day one, which is why I like Kyle Fuller at pick number 26 for this team.
Fact or fiction?
Question number two, guys. The Browns will keep and use all 10 of their draft picks this year.
They will, I'm going to say they're going to end up with more than 10 because how they'll use those picks, if that's the general term there, some of them will be used to, I think, be part of trades or deals. But for the most part, they will end up, the net will be more picks because I envision them maneuvering quite very possibly from four to move down. And then maybe it could be 26, could be with the second rounders they have. It could be with the third. I mean, they're going to make they just have too many premium picks for me not to believe that those won't be involved in some level of maneuvering.
I'm going to say fiction, and they're not going to keep and use all 10. I think you could see a scenario where they take some of those later ones to move up, maybe even the extra third and the extra fourth to get an extra pick in the second round. I think they will move up or move some of those picks into the future because you're just not going to be able to bring in that many players into camp and have 10, rookies come in and be able to make this roster. So I think they're going to try to consolidate a little bit of that into better players and maybe move some of those, if they can't do it this year, to next year. But so fiction.
Fact or fiction?
Question number three. Khalil Mack, Sammy Watkins, Jadeveon Clowney. Of the three, Khalil Mack will be the best pro.
Yeah, I'll go along with that. I'll say fact.
So if you had the number one pick, you would take Khalil Mack.
I would take Khalil Mack. I've got more concerns over Clowney's ability to stay available to me, whether it's injury or whether he's doing the right thing in terms of not bad stuff off the field, but just focus stuff.
Sure.
And that I can utilize him, that I could start him, that I can maximize. I think Khalil Mack is a guy that's going to start from day one. He's going to be this serious, determined, hard worker. His work ethic, his focus, everything about him, attitude, fits what I would want in a football player, and I think that's going to be true with most coaches/GMs.
I'd go with Clowney. I think he's got the most absolute talent in this draft, and so therefore I'd say fiction that Mack will be the best, but certainly I think Khalil Mack is a darn good football player.
Fact or fiction?
Final question today. Chris Johnson, signed by the New York Jets yesterday, is still a top 10 running back in the NFL.
Top 10 running back. I'll say fact. I think he's not what he was of the 2,000-yard variety for the Titans, but I think he's still pretty good, and I think he'll be utilized accordingly in the Jets' offense that will allow him to have a top 10 production as a runner and a receiver.
You know, to me, Chris Johnson is not a top 10 running back in the NFL. He doesn't run hard consistently. He is lazy at times. I think he had speed to burn. I don't think he has that speed anymore. He is not great in the open field as a wide receiver out of the backfield. He is not a top 10 running back in the National Football League. And if I was the Browns and you said to me, because basically they signed for about the same money, maybe $1 million more over 2 years for Chris Johnson versus Ben Tate, I'd much rather had Ben Tate than Chris Johnson. I think his best days clearly behind him, no longer a top 10 running back. And I think Chris Ivory may be the best pure runner on that Jets roster. And there it is.
That's it.
A little fact,
that's
or fiction. Fact or fiction. Wrapping it up. All right. Absolutely. All right. Now let's go ahead and hear from Jordan Cameron. Yesterday's University Hospital event at the Rainbow Babies and Children's Hospital. One of just the great things that the players of the Cleveland Browns do. You can also see a little story on that, pictures from that at clevelandbrowns.com. Cameron was asked about his impressions of his new head coach, Mike Pettine.
He's kind of a no BS kind of guy, you know. He's black and white, very, just says it how it is, and you can appreciate that, you know. He's going to shoot you straight, and like I said, it's a good thing for these guys on our team to have a coach like that who's going to give you a straight answer every time.
And I like that take. That's consistent with what you're hearing from the majority of players on this team, that they're seeing that direct approach and message that Mike Pettine lays out for them. And I think they're accepting it, by the way, and taking it in the right context. And you look at a guy like Jordan Cameron, I mean, you think of him as mostly the finesse style tight end, the guy who's going to catch passes. I think he will be encouraged. I know he will be encouraged by this coaching staff and especially this head coach to be even more physical with his game so that you could get the best of both worlds. He's never going to be a dominant physical blocker, and that is why this team also went into free agency and brought in a Jim Dre to have that complement there. But I think there will be a noticeable difference in the approach of every player on this team, because it's the kind of mentality, Pettine, that toughness he's instilling.
Yes, but at the same time, when you look at Kyle Shanahan, he is a good job at getting a tight end out in space, flexing him out, similar to what Norv Turner would do. Jordan Reed, what he did with him last year, very, very effective down there in Washington. So I think that you're going to see hopefully a little bit more of a completeness, and that's what you want to see from Jordan Cameron, right? An evolution into becoming a complete dominant player. Now, if he has to be limited to one thing, and it is being a great pass-catching tight end, I'll take that. I think that's more advantageous in today's National Football League than being a great blocker. But if he can kind of pick up some of that toughness, and he is a tough guy, but just kind of refined his game, become a little more well-rounded, that will certainly be a good thing. Cameron was also asked how the off-season workouts are going.
So far, so good. We haven't gotten too much in-depth anything. We start in the field next week with the coaches, but, you know, everything's been good. We've been learning the little nuances of the offense, and so far it's been pretty smooth.
Yeah, they haven't gotten into the nuances yet, and that's not really, I'm going to say, allowable in this phase of workouts, right, because of time restrictions and limitations of what can be done on the field. Mostly this is any work you see with players on the field have got to be driven by conditioning. So toward the end of the month, we're going to see more team drills. We're going to see more of the kinds of things that are going to resemble the nuances, the details. And I'm excited to see this as well, how players are adapting to what the Kyle Shanahan scheme will look like. And it'll be very different from what we saw previously from Rob Chudzinski / Norv Turner, from Pat Shurmur, and how quickly these players adapt to that. Because it's one thing to talk about it and be excited about the numbers it has produced and what you saw when you watched tape of it. It's another thing to do it. And it'll be, and frankly, the majority of players who will be operating in this scheme haven't been in this scheme. I mean, Ben Tate will be really the truest, the largest exception to the rule.
Yeah, he'll have the most experience in that offense. All right, and finally from Jordan Cameron yesterday at the University Hospital event at Rainbow Babies and Children's Hospital, he was asked, is there a win now mentality?
Yeah, I mean, I've had a lot of change in the last 3 years. So I'm not going to predict anything or say anything, but it's a different atmosphere in the building, and hopefully that translates to wins.
And it's palpable, and I agree with it, and it is a win now mentality. And if you just want to take a step back, okay, and go back to last year, we were optimistic. We were. I was optimistic. You had Norv Turner here. You had Ray.
For the record, you were more optimistic than me.
I did. I thought they could play a meaningful game in December. I was wrong. They were able to play a meaningful game in November, and then that was it after that Cincinnati game, really. It does feel a little bit different to me, but last year, if you were a player on this team, ready to go out there and put your physical well-being on the line for this team and this organization, the moves that were made by the front office leading up to the draft and free agency, and then certainly during the draft, did not say to you, we want to win in 2013. Our ultimate goal is winning this season.
1,000%. Last year's moves were punts toward the future, and the coaching staff was operating under the premise that, okay, after the Trent Richardson trade, this is going to be a longer term approach, and then that carpet got pulled out. So yeah, this is a dynamic shift to that, and you've got to be seeing this thing as this is all about here, now, this year for this group.
And the moves back that up and support
right,
that.
Yeah.
The moves of the front
totally.
Office, what they've done in
totally.
Free agency supports that. The way that the coaching staff is approaching this and talking supports that. And I think that's one of the things in talking to some players, I've really gotten a sense that they feel like now there is a 100% unified mission from top to bottom, from the front office to the coaching staff to the players about winning this season. And they felt that that was not the case last year.
Right. And I agree with all of that, but I also like the sense of caution that Jordan Cameron threw in there.
Of course.
Which was to say,
you got to prove
I've seen this. You know, we've been down this road. He's even the few years that he's been with this football team, going on year four now, that for him, he has seen enough of this promising talk lead to nothing. And that's the key. And it's fair for Alex Mack, for Joe Thomas, for Joe Hayden, all these guys to have that somewhere in the back of their psyche, their mindset. They got to be positive, and they got to think about, you know, wanting the success now, because it is a now existence for players especially. But unfortunately, there's enough history to make you say, I'll believe it when I see it. And that's kind of where – I know that's where I am too.
And that is totally fair. As Mike Pettine's dad said – Mike Pettine Sr., he said, this is the honeymoon period. Come September, it's all about winning, and that will be the bottom line. Want you to kind of put this in the old noodle and think about it for tomorrow. If the Browns do follow the Seattle model, they wait on a quarterback. Take the top four quarterbacks out of the equation. Who are the guys that you want to be targeting for the Cleveland Browns should they decide to wait on a quarterback, or put it in your noodle that they go two quarterbacks, one early, one late? Who's that late guy that you like from that second tier of quarterbacks? We're going to talk about that tomorrow here on the show. Got to thank Dane Brugler from CBSSports.com, Mary Kay Cabot from the Cleveland Plain Dealer, and, of course, Cleveland.com, and all of you for your great tweets and, of course, your calls. Megan Rock, Jason Gibbs,
now,
the whole team.
Regarding that noodle, can it be a specific noodle like fettuccine? Are we talking, you know, angel hair? What kind of noodle are we talking?
You know what I like? The bucatini.
Bucatini's nice.
Bucatini's a nice noodle. That's especially nice if you noodle. Put it with like a vodka sauce, or maybe you put the bucatini with the short rib pasta my wife makes.
Now you're talking. Mm. Wheat pasta's pretty good too.
I only eat whole wheat pasta for the most part. Except when I go noodles. To bucatini. You can't find a whole wheat bucatini out there.
That's noodles go. Hey, all right, Julian Gerard, they're coming up next. We will be back with you again tomorrow for Cleveland Browns Daily, driven
by Liberty Ford.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.